Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. In order to keep bringing you the very best in classic radio comedy, we are implementing a patron support program. Your monthly support will keep us on the air by allowing us to pay the expenses associated with a growing podcast, to replace outdated equipment, and to expand the podcast to 5 days a week. We have four levels at which you may support the podcast. The first level is the vaudeville level. It's $3 a month. You get a thank you on the show and access to the bonus videos. At $5 a month, you become a Broadway star. You get a thank you on the show, access to the bonus videos, and a really nice vinyl logo sticker. At the $10 level, you become part of the Hollywood A-list. You get a thank you on the show, access to bonus videos, the vinyl logo sticker, and your name and picture on the website's Walk of Fame. And the last level is the co-executive producer level. That's $20 a month. You get a thank you on the show, access to the bonus videos, the vinyl logo sticker, your name and picture on the website's Walk of Fame, 10 business cards with your name as co-executive producer of the podcast. You also get to vote on which shows will be next, and you can read a short message or greeting on the show. Please go to our website, classiccomedyotr.com, and click on the Become a Patron button on the right side of the screen. Thank you for your support. Today, I am pleased to present to you a special episode. This is going to be in honor of our 200th episode, even though we passed that mark 30 episodes ago. So it's a little late, but better late than never. This special show is not a comedy, but rather a spy thriller, and it stars Herbert Marshall. Herbert Marshall has been Bob Hope's guest on three of our podcasts now, so I thought it would be fun to listen to some of Marshall's other work. Another cool thing about this show is that it was the summer replacement series for the Pepsodent show. They would do that in old-time radio. Instead of reruns, they'd have replacement shows. And that a lot of times they had to do that because things weren't taped. So you had to do a replacement show because you didn't have the reruns. All right. Well, anyway, get ready for action and intrigue with The Man Called X. This episode is entitled Into Berlin, and it originally aired on March 3rd, 1945.
Highest flying super fighter in all the world. And during the following program, Mr. Hall Hibbard, Vice President and Chief Engineer of Lockheed Aircraft Corporation, will bring you the inside story about this great new plane. Lockheed presents The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, with the music of Felix Mills. Produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. The makers of Lockheed Airplanes present Herbert Marshall as the man called X, international troubleshooter who flies the ocean at the drop of a hat, who charms the ladies but is death on crooks. Herbert Marshall as the man called X.
Listen to this, Chief. London, February the 13th, Associated Press. The Moscow radio quoted Stockholm reports tonight that the mayor of Berlin, Ludwig Stieg, had been shot to death for cowardice.
Yeah, Ken. One report says that he tried to leave Berlin, but was recognized, arrested, and executed.
Yeah. The tougher the going, the tougher Hitler, Himmler, and company will have to get, even with their own bigwigs.
That's okay with me, Ken. They're just doing some of the dirty work we'd have to do.
Right, Nancy. But unfortunately, some of them are going to slip through. Some of the worst.
For instance, Chief?
Well, for instance, we've got a tip that Schweitzer's going to try to get out.
Schweitzer?
Yep. Reichsbank, economic minister.
Why, he probably has more vital information in his head than any other man in Germany. Can't let him get away, Chief.
Yep. If he gets out, it's just too bad.
Yeah, it's too bad somebody can't go into Berlin and help him escape.
Great idea, Ken.
Kind of ridiculous, too.
Oh, I was just speculating.
Yeah, it's out of our jurisdiction, too.
Hmm.
Anybody who did it would have to be in a zone.
Yeah. Yes, well, Nancy, let's go. See you later, Chief.
Okay, Ken. I'll have something else for you to do in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Bye, Nancy.
Bye, Chief. Oh, and don't strain yourself looking for another assignment for Ken. Berlin, huh?
Well, you heard the Chief. It's out of our jurisdiction.
Well, don't let it get you down. Huh? What would you like to do today, darling?
Oh, I don't know. How about dropping in on Harold Annis?
All right. Haven't seen Hal for ages. Oh, what's he doing now?
Nothing much. Colonel with the ATC.
Yes. Oh, that's what... Wait a minute. What did you say?
Yes, darling. Colonel Harold Annis of the Air Transport Command. Tell me, Hal, how close do your planes go to Germany?
Russia. That's close enough, Ken.
Uh-huh. Could you arrange a passage for a passenger?
Well, yeah, I suppose I could.
Hmm.
Hal, do you mind if Ken kisses me right in front of you?
This I've got to see.
Just something to remember you by, Ken. Well... Oh, darling. Darling, when you kiss me like that, I go on a plane trip myself to the stars.
Do you like flying for the ATC, Captain?
Sure, Mr. Thurston. Well, during the last couple of weeks, I've been in Cairo, Sydney, Burma, London, Paris, Saipan, and Long Beach, California.
And next stop, Moscow.
Yep. I'll just have time to say hello to Uncle Joe and go on to Cousin Chung in Chungking.
Товарищ!
Hi, Pagan!
Я приветствую вас от имени любимицы всех советских республик Москвы, красавицы, дорогой товарищ Thurston.
Meaning?
Hello. And welcome to Moscow, товарищ.
Well said, Mr. Zellsmith. Did you get my message?
Mr. X, I saw, I came, I conquest.
Bravo.
I have been busy mapping out some new strategies for the Red Army. But I was able to steal a precious moment to keep this appointment with you.
Oh, so you even steal moments, eh, Pagon?
Ah, but Mr. X, a moment with you may lead to a fortune.
Look, Pagon, you once told me you were a charter member of some band of roving rogues. What were they called?
Oh, you mean the Continental Guild of Mercenaries?
That's it. You still a member?
Well, I haven't paid my dues lately, but I still have my connection.
Good. We can use your fellow guildsmen.
How?
We have a job to do which, incidentally, should cover your delinquent dues and then some.
That interests me profoundly, Mr. Thurston. But what do I do?
Have you ever made a parachute jump?
Who? Me? Geronimo!
Great, Pagon. That would make anybody jump.
Then let's go.
All right.
But where are we going?
Just to Berlin.
Oh, fine. I always...
There you are, Mr. Thurston. If you drop now, you'll land in the forest.
Thank you, Major Malyanov. It is smart of you to pick a place where we wouldn't have to dodge enemy flak.
In this new plane, we could dodge anything. You better hurry and jump, or Marshal Zhukov will be in Berlin before you are.
Okay. You ready, Pagon?
Don't you think, well, maybe perhaps we can wait a little while?
Just close your eyes and jump.
You first, my dear Thurston.
After you, Pagan.
But I insist.
Okay, but Major, you'll take care of my friend, won't you?
Your entire satisfaction, Mr. Thurston. Good luck to Varsich.
Good luck to you. So long.
He did it. He did it.
It's very simple. Now watch. I will show you a little trick. With a flick of my finger, my beautiful plane rolls over on its side, so... Ah! Woo! Good luck to Varsich.
Geronimo!
From here on, we'd better go separately, Pagon.
My miserable life is on your head, Mr. X.
Don't worry about my head. Just use yours. Mix in with the refugees on the road. Now, here's our plan. I'm going to make a little call on Schweitzer.
Not old money bags.
Yeah. The head man of the Reichsbank.
Oh, I... Are we going to rob the bank?
We've got something more important to do. But first, we've got to decide on a meeting place.
Now, let's see. Oh, Putzi.
Putzi?
Haven't I told you about Putzi? A 32nd cousin.
Oh?
A Zeltschmidt's black sheep on the Bulgarian side.
Where does he live?
Due to the misfortunes of his ill-starred career, he's living at 57 Sauerbratenstrasse. But what are you going to do, Mr. X?
Pedro, you've inspired me.
I have? How much is it worth to me?
You know, I've studied your duplicities for a long time, and at last I found a good use for them. I'm going to double-cross a crook to bait a trap for the crook.
Herr Schweitzer.
Herr Schweitzer.
How did you get in? I don't know you. Who are you?
Herr Schweitzer, you're planning to try to get out of Germany.
Who are you?
Oh, call me in. Call me X.
X? What is this? Some joke?
These are hardly times for joking, are they? As I was saying, you want to get out of Germany.
But
it seems impossible, doesn't it?
Get out of here.
Look here, Herr Schweitzer. You're a shrewd man. A wise man who would like to save his own skin.
Don't move, whoever you are.
I don't think you want to shoot me, Herr Schweitzer, because you see, I can get you out of Germany.
You? Just what makes you think you... The shelter! Quick!
The Americans are dropping their calling cards again.
Oh, the swine! Come on! Hurry! Now, we'll be safe here.
Not a very happy life, is it, Herr Schweitzer?
It will be over soon.
Oh, Father, here you are. I'm glad I wondered where you... Oh, a visitor.
Yes, an uninvited visitor. He calls himself X.
I see.
I'm offering your father a chance to get out of Germany.
Oh? And what do you say to that, Father?
Oh, don't take him too seriously, Elena, my dear. He's very amusing. Go on, X.
Let's be frank. Rather punctuates the defeat to come, doesn't it?
Well, go on with what you're saying.
Yes, but defeat may not be the end of everything. Failure can sometimes be turned into profit. To speak your language, Herr Schweitzer.
What do you expect to get for all this?
A small measure of what you expect. A future made out of catastrophe.
And all this, of course, is based on the assumption that Germany has lost the war.
That's your assumption, isn't it? I know you played along with the Nazis because you thought it was good business. That doesn't sound like good business, does it, Herr Schweitzer?
Huh?
To stay here means utter ruin for you. It means the end of business. So, of course, you'll be interested in my proposal.
Supposing I were interested, how could I trust someone I don't know, nor I've ever heard of?
You haven't been able to trust those you do know, so I wouldn't expect you to trust me, except... But I shall profit as well as you if you get out.
Get out to where?
A plane will be waiting on the other side of the border.
What border?
We'll come to that later.
What border?
It doesn't matter. France, Italy, Yugoslavia.
What about Brimna, this Gestapo? You must think they are fools.
Not for a minute. But there are some things that even Brimna can't stop. What do you say, Herr Schweitzer?
I shall report you to the Gestapo.
Won't Bremner be a little curious about the fact that you've been approached with this kind of proposition? Bremner's a suspicious man, you know. In case you shouldn't report me to him, you'll meet me at 6 o'clock this evening.
You are very bold, aren't you?
Maybe just foolish. I've offered your father a deal. I don't know whether you'll buy. May I expect to see you this evening, Herr Schweitzer?
Perhaps.
57 Sauerbratenstrasse.
But Mr. X, what makes you so sure Herr Schweitzer is coming?
If he weren't coming, I'd have been arrested long ago. Pagan, can we trust this cousin Putzi of yours?
Mr. Thurston, of course not. He doesn't even trust himself. That's why he will be so useful.
A true Zellsmith.
Thank you, Mr. Thurston. But it's already 6:05, and no Herr Schweitzer.
It's worth waiting more than 5 minutes for Schweitzer, Pagan.
Shh. Cousin Pagan.
Shh. I'm busy, Putzi, later.
But I have to talk to you, Small Taylor's just turned up.
Well, all right. Excuse me, Mr. X. Don't mind Putzi. He's not very bright.
I know. He's only a 32nd cousin. Yeah.
Thank you.
But don't stay too long. We'll be shoving off as soon as Schweitzer gets here.
If he gets here, Mr. X.
You lose, Pagan. Herr Schweitzer keeps his appointments.
Cousin Pagan, this is imperative.
Be right back, Mr. X.
Coming, coming. Oh.
Yeah, Mr. X. It's a Gestapo.
You are under arrest as a spy.
In a moment, we'll continue with Act Two of The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall. But now, ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to present a special visitor from Lockheed. He is Mr. Hall Hibbard, Vice President and Chief Engineer. Mr. Hibbard will talk about Lockheed's new fighting plane, the sensational jet-propelled shooting star. Mr. Hibbard.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I am glad to be able to tell you about the shooting star because I believe it to be more than merely a weapon of war. It is a significant airplane, significant in war and significant in peace. First of all, it may now be revealed that the development of jet-propelled aircraft in this country has always surpassed that in enemy countries. In fact, Lockheed has been working in this field for many years. Some months ago, then, when the Germans introduced jet planes in the European theater, both the United States Army Air Forces and we here at Lockheed felt that we had something better. We had the jet-driven Lockheed Shooting Star, which had been secretly test-flying for more than a year. The Shooting Star is an extremely fast, maneuverable, and high-flying airplane. It is the fastest plane in the world. We are naturally gratified to have designed such an airplane. But more important, the Shooting Star reaffirms the fact that American skills and American ingenuity can always turn out superior weapons. And now, a word about the future. In my opinion, the Lockheed Shooting Star introduces an entirely new chapter in the history of flight. It is just the beginning. We at Lockheed can foresee and are working toward the time, a matter of a few years, when the largest transports equipped with jet engines will fly across continents and oceans at tremendous speeds. Today, our job is to help maintain air supremacy for the United Nations. Tomorrow, with the knowledge thus gained, we hope to aid in maintaining a full and lasting peace. Thank you and good night.
You've just heard a talk by Mr. Hall Hibbard, Vice President and Chief Engineer, Lockheed Aircraft Corporation. Thank you, Mr. Hibbard. Now to return to Lockheed's Man Called X, who has managed to get into Berlin, where he has been trying to kidnap one of the highest officials in all Nazism by helping him escape from Germany. But his plans have apparently blown up in his face, for he is now a prisoner of the Gestapo. At the moment, we find Mr. X in his cell, somewhat the worse for the customary treatment by the Gestapo.
Well, what are you going to use this time? Lashes or lighted cigarettes? I don't know. Why don't you put on the light? You usually like to see your handiwork. Well, say something.
You should never have come to see my father.
Elena.
You remember my name.
That isn't all I remember, Miss Weitzer.
But I don't even know yours.
How did you get in here?
The way people usually get into places.
Oh. The Nazis have their little weakness, too. Why did you come?
I couldn't help it. I had to see you again. But I feel foolish having to call you just X.
My name's Ken.
Ken? Oh. Why were you trying to help my father?
For the reason I told him. For profit.
But you look like a man of ideals, Ken.
And you look like one of those ideals, Elena.
Well?
It's very sweet of you to come to see me. That's taking chances, you know.
I told you I had to. Did they hurt you?
What do you think?
Oh, Ken.
My mother used to tell me that a kiss would take away a hurt. She was right.
That isn't why I kissed you.
Elena, did you tell me something?
Yes.
Did your father call the Gestapo?
No. No, I did.
That's what I thought.
I still don't know who you are. You're still X, but you're a traitor to the Fuhrer. You would have made my father a traitor. I would kill him first.
And me.
Oh, the Gestapo will make you wish I had killed you.
So this is the woman of the future. The Fräulein modeled after her Fuhrer. The essence of Nazi superiority.
Heil Hitler.
Heil Hitler. Fräulein Schweitzer.
I have been expecting you, Herr Bremner. Our friend here is quite susceptible to lovemaking, but he says nothing.
Perhaps lovemaking isn't the right method.
Then I bow out in your favor, Herr Bremner.
Leaving so soon, Miss Schweitzer.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen, Elena.
Not auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye.
Lovely specimen of your womanhood, Herr Bremner.
We shall not talk of women, Mr. X.
Is there a better subject?
There is a more important one. Who are you?
You seem to know.
Who are you?
Have a smoke?
Who brought you those?
Your Gestapo, of course.
What do you mean?
Oh, now, wait a minute, Herr Bremner. You know as well as I do. You can buy anything. In fact, your Gestapo has a very well-organized black market.
Shut up.
That's enough, Hans. Go on, Mr. X.
I've always thought of the Gestapo as an invincible, incorruptible machine. It's very interesting when you see it from the inside.
Like so?
Everyone a prisoner of everyone else. All linked together in a chain. But the chain is held together only by fear. Fear of each other.
Stop! You will not tell us who you are. But we do not need to know. We know enough. You are a spy. And spies are shut.
When do you plan to give my little party?
In the morning, Mr. X. Also,
what mit?
Bremner, back so soon. Have you changed your shooting schedule?
Mr. X, you are an intelligent man. You could be very useful if you would talk.
Apparently, I've talked too much.
I know, of course, about your attempt at negotiations with Herr Schweitzer.
Of course, his adoring daughter told you.
You were very sure you could get him out of Germany, weren't you?
Yes.
I see, but unfortunately, you will be shot in the morning.
Yes, unfortunately.
And you still won't talk? Mr. X.
Yeah?
Mr. X, can you get me out of Germany?
Ach, Frieda, here comes the slaughter wagon once again.
It's as sure as the sun comes up.
Not a want to help Emna's victims, eh?
I wonder who it is this time. Driver, is it another field marshal you're burying?
Sorry to disappoint you, old woman. All I've got today is an American spy.
American? Come along, Frieda.
A very bad character.
Mr. X. Mr. X, are you dead or alive?
I'm pinching myself, Pagan. Remna promised to put blanks in the guns, but I still had to sweat it out before that war.
But how could you know he would really use blanks?
Only because he was saving his own skin with them, or so he thought. Have Putzi and his mercenaries paved a road out for us and our celebrated companions?
A regular fortune it cost, Mr. X. The road is paved with gold and silver.
Yes, Pagan. But there's a rainbow at the end of it.
Very hot in this ridiculous clothing.
Ah, but Herr Bremner, who would suspect that two fat old ladies in black would be those well-known gentlemen, Bremner and Schweitzer?
I must admit, Mr. X, the costumes have served their purpose.
The idea came from Pagan, the fount of all chicanery.
Thank you, Mr. X.
Here we are. Here is the border.
Doesn't seem much different, does it? Except that the air smells free.
Nobody but me, Grossuncle Heinrich, knows this pass.
Good for you, Uncle. Mr. X has your bonus for you, like I promised.
That's right, Uncle. Here you are.
Danke, danke, Schein.
Are you sure nobody but you knows this way out, old man?
Nobody. I've lived here for 70... No. No, what are you...
Uncle Heinrich!
Well, Bremner... Why did you shoot the old man?
You think I'm a fool, Mr. X? Nobody will know how I left Germany. Or that I have left Germany.
Oh?
Nobody.
No blanks in the gun now, huh? You're sure you're safe now, so suddenly you're a brave man.
You've been a very convenient guide, Mr. X, but only one of us will cross the border alive.
You wouldn't dare kill me, Bremner.
You, Schweitzer, who think only of money and... Who's there?
Captain Pagan! Pagan!
Ah, Putzi, you're a regular Marine. What is it?
The American flyer. He's coming.
Good. Americana.
As I promised you, gentlemen, there's a plane waiting. A plane which will take you for a nice long ride to America.
You'll never get me to...
Nice work, Mr. X. Here, I have his gun.
Come on, Bremner, get up.
Schwein.
Oh, I'm getting awfully tired of that word. But perhaps pigs know no other language. What are you trembling for, Bremner? And you, Schweitzer? You afraid? Did you really think you'd get away? How could you get away from yourselves? Maybe you've forgotten that. He that fleeth from the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that getteth up out of the pit shall be taken in the snare. Maybe you've forgotten that for the creators of destruction and disaster... There is no way out.
Ladies and gentlemen, the jet-propelled Lockheed Shooting Star is the fastest plane ever built. Trim as a bullet, highly maneuverable, armed to the teeth, this sensational new plane is capable of fighting at high altitudes, striking, disappearing, bringing fear and terror to the enemy. The jet-propelled Shooting Star. With it, Lockheed has again established new standards in the field of aircraft design and manufacture. Again, Lockheed originality, Lockheed science and skill have helped maintain air supremacy for the United Nations. This time with a plane so superior that it may revolutionize all flying, be it for war or for peace. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Lockheed leads in jet propulsion. And in the great age of flight to come, you may well look to Lockheed for continuation in this leadership. Lockheed, makers of the new jet-propelled Shooting Star. years ahead in the science of flight. And now a word from Lockheed's star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our last program in the present series. So I'd like to say a very sincere thanks to the men of Lockheed Aircraft Corporation who have given every possible assistance in making this show as good a show as we could make it. And of course, my thanks to my favorite company of artists and technicians. Felix Mills, our superlative music master. Milton Merlin, author of tonight's exploit and most of the stories in this series. Francis Farrago, writer. Paul LaCroix, our excellent engineer. Floyd and Monty, our sound effects wizards. John McIntyre, our grand announcer. And the cast. Gigi Pearson, who plays the charming Nancy Bessington. Leon Belasco, who is my rascally shadow, Pagan Zellsmith. And as such fine actors as Bea Benaderet, Lucille Meredith, and Jeanette Nolan. Frank Graham, Theodore Bonnells, Will Wright, Joe Granby, Charlie Lung, Bob Bruce, Vic Rodman, Ed MacDonald, and my many other friends in the cast. Well, naturally, I've saved my final salute for Jack Johnstone, our producer and director whose magic wand has safely and brilliantly guided the man called X through his many adventures. And to you, my most highly esteemed audience, my profoundest thanks of all. So until we meet again on the air, good night.
Herbert Marshall's appearance is through courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. All characters and incidents used on this program are fictitious. Any resemblance to actual persons or incidents is purely coincidental. John McIntyre speaking. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.
This show is a wonderful piece of history in that it shows us what things were like on the home front during World War II. Modern-day cynics might call this show propaganda, and to an extent it was. It was shamelessly pro-American, pro-Allies, and anti-Nazi. The writers, producers, and actors on this show would have proudly said that what they put together was to stimulate patriotism, bolster support for the war, and increase the morale of the folks at home. It truly was a different world. Now, please send your questions and comments to host at classiccomedyotr.com. Also, please go to our website, click on the Become a Patron button on the right-hand side of the screen, and support our show. And come back on Monday for the next installment of My Favorite Husband. Until next time, in the words of Anonymous, insomnia sharpens your math skills because you spend all night calculating how much sleep you'll get if you're able to fall asleep right now.